Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Genesis. We're going to be reading Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 21. Hear the word of the Lord. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. And he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He said to him, Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he brought him all these, cut them in half, and laid each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in half. And when birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram. And behold, dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. Then the Lord said to Abram, Know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and will be servants there. And they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age, and they shall come back here in the fourth generation. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, To your offspring I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, and the Cadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Thus is the reading of the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
As we finished our study in John 3 weeks ago, we jumped over into the Old Testament to spend two Sundays looking at the Ark of the Covenant. Several of you had mentioned that to me, and it was something I wanted to do, and the Lord blessed that. If you weren't here the last two Sundays, I would commend it. It would help you in understanding Christ and understanding the New Testament. It would help you to listen to those two messages. You'll find them on the website. I would especially, looking back at last Sunday's message, that probably will be one of the most important messages I'll ever preach at Christ Covenant Reformed Church, in my mind. And I hope if you go back and listen to it, you'll see what I mean. The church will be well prepared for the future if the church learns and understands what was said from this pulpit by the Holy Spirit last Sunday morning. we talked about the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark, it was sometimes called the Ark of the Testimony, sometimes the Ark of the Covenant. So this morning, because it was called the Ark of the Covenant, we're going to look at that covenant, the covenant that God made with Abraham. And it really speaks to us, folks, of the beautiful unity, the wonder. It's a true wonder, the unity of all of Scripture. The Bible is one great tapestry. It's not two or three tapestries. It's not two tapestries, the Old Testament, the New Testament. It's one great tapestry. No part is isolated from all the other parts. The tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant is woven together with God's covenant to Abraham. That fits all through Scripture. You'll read something in Genesis, and it will be tied to something in the last three chapters of the book of Revelation. It's just one great tapestry. And the more you study it, the more you read it, the more you grow in God's Word and your knowledge of God's Word and your understanding of God's Word, you'll stand in wonder of it. So that's what's behind our message this morning. How can I be certain, Lord? How can I be certain? We've taken a brief but succinct look at the Ark of the Covenant. That holy chest that God designed and placed in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. It contained, as a chest, it was a storage chest, it contained the commands and promises that God gave Moses. They were commands, they were promises of a covenant. Not a covenant that God made with Moses, a covenant that God had made with Abraham and Israel 400 years before Moses. Moses and the people of Israel in Egypt, they knew all about the covenant that God had made with Abraham. It had been passed down from generation to generation. Let's look at it. God came to Abram. His name had not been changed to Abraham yet. This morning in the scriptures we're in, he's known as Abram. God came to Abram in Genesis 12 and made amazing promises to him as an individual. Let's read those promises, for they directly led to the covenant that God made with Abram. Look at Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So what were the promises? Go to a land that I will show you. I've got a land for you, Abram. Second promise. I will make you a great nation. And then the greatest promise. And in you, Abram, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This is the God, think about this. This is the God of heaven and earth that has come to this individual, a God who is eternal, omnipotent, omniscient, and he tells him, go to a land. What land? What land, Lord? I'll show you. I'm not going to tell you now, but I'll show you. I will make you a great nation. Well, Lord, I don't have a single child yet, and I'm 75 years old. I don't have a descendant. And then the promise of all promises, Abram, you'll be a blessing to all the families all over the earth and all the history of the earth. As God directed, Abram went to Canaan. and journeyed through the land. There God came to him and reiterated his promises. Still in the 12th chapter, look at the 7th verse. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." Then in chapter 13, God again comes to Abram as he's moving about the land, looking at this land. And look at in chapter 13, verses 14 through 17. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, "Lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are. Look northward and southward, eastward, westward. For all the land that you see, I will give you and to your offspring forever. I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring also can be counted. Arise, walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I will give it to you." So as you read, and I hope you'll do this afternoon. Please do this afternoon. Read chapters 12 and 13 of Genesis. Abram, in those chapters, is doing two things. He is obeying God. You'll notice that whatever God tells him to do, he does. And the second thing is, he keeps building altars wherever he goes. He goes to a place, he builds an altar. He goes to another place, he builds an altar. He goes to another place. It was an altar to sacrifice. It was an altar to worship God. He's building altars all over the land. Well, after that, God comes to Abram in chapter 15, the chapter we read this morning, and he makes another promise. Look in verse 1. This is something he hadn't said before. "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." I really believe that should read, "I am your reward." But the first thing he said was, "Fear not, Abram. I'm your shield." Why did God come with the promise that the God of heaven and earth would be his shield? He was saying, "Abram, don't be afraid." It's easy to understand. You notice that the verse begins, look back at 15:1, "After these things." Well, after what things? Recent events had put the life of Abram and the life of his family in danger. The city where his nephew Lot lived had been taken captive by a coalition of kings, and that coalition had carried Lot off into captivity. Abram gathered his forces and followed after these kings, did battle with them, rescued Lot, rescued the leaders of Sodom. Now, Abraham could have been annihilated. He was going up against five kings. Abram was afraid. He had left his ancestor at home, had gone out among the powerful city-states of Canaan. He had just fought a battle that could have destroyed. Certainly those kings would seek retribution. And what was God doing? Where were all those promises? So the chapter begins, "After this, the word of the Lord came. Abram, I'm your shield. Don't you fear those kings. I'll take care of them." God had to calm his fears. But how did Abram reply? And here's where there's a real humor. How does he reply? He doesn't say, "Lord, I'm so thankful you're my shield." Abram said, "I'm really very glad you showed up again, Lord. I've been wondering about all that you've told me. I have some questions." Look at verse 2. "But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus." And Abram said, "You have given me no children, so a servant of my household will be my heir." When God came to Abram in chapter 12 with the initial promises, as I told you, Abraham was 75 years old. If you do the math, 10 years had passed, and there still was no son. 10 years, a decade. He had promised that his family would grow to a great nation. And so far, there were only two citizens of that nation, Abram and Sarai. How did God answer? And I love this. I love this. Instead of saying, well, Abraham, you got to understand. Look what he did. He showed Abram the vastness of his promise. God doubled down. Look at verse 5. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And then he said, so shall your offspring be. He didn't explain himself. He just reiterated the promise. He said, you're thinking too small, Abram. You're thinking of a son, an heir. I told you I would make you a great nation. Think how many stars there are. There are billions of stars. So shall your family be. Count them, Abram, if you can. Lord, I can't count them. Well, that's what your family will be. After that, in verse 6, God said this in his word. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it, God counted it to him as righteousness. That's one of the most important verses in all of Scripture. If R.C. were here right now and he was preaching, he would just stop preaching on the covenant and would start preaching on that verse. He couldn't resist it. All of Romans is about that one verse. It's a theme in the letter to the Roman church. But that's for another day, and I'm not R.C. So we're going ahead and talk about the covenant. Look at verse 7. After that verse, he also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abram is stuck on this thing. Abram said, O sovereign Lord, how can I know I will possess it? He's already said, what can you give me? What sign can you give me? He said, how can I know? Now we need to think about this for a minute. Did Abram suddenly no longer believe? God had just said, Abram believed him, believed God, and God counted it to him as righteousness. So Abram really believed God. However, he was confused with God's timetable. 10 years have passed, God. You know, if you're going to live as if something is true, you must know it's true. How can you live as if something is true if you don't know it's true? People, this was not unbelief asking for a sign. We see that in Scripture sometimes. We see that around us. This was faith. This was faith. People like you and people like me, people of faith, this was faith asking for a sign. It's not wrong. God didn't rebuke Abram for asking for a sign. So Abram said, how can I know? How can I know for certain? Well, what did God do? We read about a dramatized covenant. A great drama that's played out. Let's read it very quickly. A dramatized covenant. He said to him, so God answers him. He said, I want to know, Lord. I want to know. And how does God answer him? God immediately said, bring me a heifer. 3 years old, a female goat, 3 years old, a ram, 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought him all these things, cut them in half, and laid each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in half. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram. And behold, a dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. And then the Lord said to Abram, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and there will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. As for you, you shall go to your father in peace, and you shall be buried in a good old age. And they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking firepot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, to the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. He gave Abraham additional information about his promises. Now pay close attention to this. This, in one way, is huge for us. He gave Abraham some additional information about his promises. He said, it will be 400 years before your people inherit this land. Your people will spend 400 years as servants, as slaves in a foreign land. It's there that they'll grow over those 400 years. They'll grow into a great nation. You know, this is so important to us. He gave him more information, and that helped. Sometimes as we have questions, maybe a child has died, maybe a wife has died, maybe a husband's died, maybe you've lost your job, maybe things are really, really tough in your marriage. When you're looking at this, and somehow we say we want a sign. Well, first off, God says through this, maybe, just maybe, you need some additional information. Well, where do you get the additional information? You get the additional information from something that Abram didn't have. He didn't have the Bible. He did not have the Old Testament. He did not have the New Testament. We have all of those things. Sometimes the best answer when you're questioning is to go directly to Scripture and say, God, teach me. There's an interesting verse in Psalm 25:4, and this is not on your Scripture sheet. Please write this down right now. Just Psalm 25:4. Write it down. It reads like this. In the ESV, it says, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him. He makes known to them his covenant. Now, that word that's translated friendship there, the friendship of the Lord, that's better translated. In fact, it's translated in some translations as the secret. So we'd say the secrets of the Lord. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him. In other words, he has secrets, and they're for us. And he makes them known in his covenant. So he tells Abram a secret. He says, Abram, yeah, your family it's going to be carried off. You're going to be in a foreign nation for 400 years. And eventually, they'll make slaves of your people. Then after the time of the Amorites, after their sin is complete over in Canaan, I'll bring you out of that land. You know, folks, I've been preaching for 60 years. Every week, including this week, every week when I go to Scripture and study and work, I see something that I hadn't seen before. I don't care if I'm in a passage from which I've preached 20 sermons. I still see something new. If you ask Brian, he would tell you the same thing. Every week, you see something you hadn't seen before. So the first thing God says to us when we're asking for a sign, go look in my word. I have secrets. Go find them. But then he does something else. That's a sign. Remember, a dramatized covenant. Abraham lived in an oral culture. A man's word had to count if he were to be believed. However, when the commitments that a man was making his word had huge implications, Their culture had a way of adding something to an individual's word that would add weight to his words. A covenant would be made, not a written document. This covenant was a graphic drama. What did God tell Abraham to do? Just out of the blue, he says, bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and young pigeon. Now notice, he didn't need to tell Abraham anything else to do. He didn't instruct him to cut them up. As soon as he said that, Abraham knew what God was saying. Abraham had seen this before. He had done it himself. He was a businessman. He had made covenants before. He knew God was about to say, you not only have my word, you have my covenant. And so Abraham set up the props. The animals were torn asunder, cut in half, all except the birds. And one half was on this side, the other half was on this side, and there was a path between them. Then what happened? Abram fell into a sleep induced by the supernatural. This same terminology was used when God put Adam to sleep when he took a rib from his body. You know, there's a difference between falling asleep in your bed. The only thing I like about surgery is instant sleep. You're there, they give you a shot, you're no longer awake. Done. This was a supernatural sleep. Then what happened? A thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Well, it says before that, it says the sun went down. So this is something separate than the sun going out. A dreadful darkness fell. This is the holy dread, which is the weight of God's glory that a sinner feels when God draws near. Isaiah cried out, woe is me, I'm undone. It's a darkness that is felt. It was that same presence that brought that weighty doctrine in. It was in the middle of the afternoon, and the darkness fell on the land with Jesus on the ground. God was drawing near in judgment. Then what happened in this drama? A fire appeared. Remember when God spoke to Moses from the burning bush? 400 years later, it was a fire. And God spoke from that fire. Remember the pillar of fire that guided Israel at night, or hovered over Israel at night? It represented God's presence. It was a cloud by day, a fire by night. Well, a pillar of fire, a torch, appeared. And that torch went down the aisle between those pieces of animals. And we read in verse 18, mark it down. And on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram. You see, the person walking between the pieces in this dramatized covenant was saying, may this be done to me if I do not fulfill my promises. May I be torn asunder if I break my word. You know, maybe this would be a more effective way than we have. You know, we sign those contracts. This week I was signing something and I looked up at the lady that handed it to me. I said, what am I signing? You know, it's a 2-page document. And are you just going to sit down and, you know, what do you sign? Maybe there's a more effective way. Maybe we need more serious drama instead of the dull written document. Maybe there's a man painting your house or doing some repair work. He was supposed to have been there a month ago. He was to be there 4 different occasions, but he's only shown up once. Maybe you should invite him over. Kill a couple of your animals. Make him walk between the pieces and say, may this be done to me if I don't show up tomorrow and finish the job. That would probably be effective. So you see a dramatized covenant. Secondly, you see a strange and gracious covenant. It's a strange covenant. Why? When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking firepot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. That was God. God walked between those pieces. I'm making a covenant with you, Abram. And he didn't say, get up and come walk through these pieces with me. Only God. This covenant was unilateral. God set the terms of the covenant. He made the promises. He made the commitment, and he walked through the pieces. Usually when covenants were cut between nations, the greater nation imposed the covenant on the lesser nation to ensure loyalty. If you were a great king and I was a king of lesser province, you would set the terms and make me walk between the pieces. This was strange because the king, God himself, the omnipotent, omniscient, walked through the pieces. Abram, the lowly vassal, the servant to whom these promises were being made, to the covenant was being made, did not. Every other religion is just the opposite of what we see here. Man is the one who must walk through the pieces. He's saved by his efforts. He is saved by his works. He's saved by his goodness. That brings us to the second word. It was a strange covenant, but it was also a gracious covenant. God was taking Abraham's faith. You don't do this when you're making a covenant. God was taking Abram's failure for granted. He knew Abram could not keep the covenant. God was saying, Abram, I'll be torn apart if I break the covenant. I'll be torn apart if you break the covenant. There's never been and never ever will be a more gracious covenant, the most powerful walk through. And he swore to take the curse for the failure of either party. That's exactly what happened, folks. Jesus, the Son of God, was torn apart by God's judgment at Calvary for covenant breakers. So you see a dramatized covenant. You see a strange and gracious covenant. And thirdly, you see a convincing covenant. After this was done, look at verse 13. I love this. The Lord said to Abram, know for certain. You get this, Abraham? Now you come. You saw me pass through. Know for certain. God was saying, you believe. I've already said that in verse 6. Counted to you for righteousness. But you'll waver. You'll wonder at the sheer greatness of the promises. You live in a sinful, fallen culture. You'll wonder at the immense time it takes. You'll want to know for sure. You want to be convinced. I'll make a covenant. I'll bind myself to you by covenant. Now go back to Psalm, that Psalm in Psalm 25. He says, by my covenant, you'll understand by my covenant. You'll understand my secrets by my covenant. Seventeen 1,700 years later, the promises of God's covenant to Abraham had been kept. Abraham's descendants had inherited the land. His family had become a great nation. And a descendant had come who would indeed bless all the families in the history of the earth. Jesus was a descendant of Abram. We come to the end. Look at Matthew 26. Now as they were eating, this is Matthew 26:26. As they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant. When he said that, the men sitting there, John, Peter, Matthew, all the disciples thought of one thing: the covenant that God made with Abram. This is the blood of the covenant. My blood. You failed, disciples. You failed. The Son of God was there. It was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit that walked through those pieces. The Son of God was there when that unilateral covenant was made. Like Abram, in our faith, we sometimes need a sign. Well, Jesus has given us a sign, people. It's a sign of all signs. It's a sign of the covenant. Don't go and ask like Gideon, Lord, make the fleece wet. Don't say, well, you want me to do this, bring this person by tomorrow. Go to the covenant. You want a sign? You come back here next week. Bring in your questions. Jesus is going to bring us to his table next week. And we'll drink of that wine. The wine that is the blood of the covenant. This is how you can know. The Father gave his Son. Abraham had no idea that God would sign that covenant with the blood of his own son. Dr. Ralph Davis is an Old Testament scholar. If you see any of his books on the Old Testament, his name's Ralph Davis. Buy it. You'll love it. It's not hard to understand. You see, most of his commentaries are just sermons that he's preached. You'll be blessed by them. He's a PCA minister. He said this: you know how to spell confidence? You want to be confident? You want to know how to spell confidence? He said, God told us. He taught us how to spell it. C-O-N-V-E-N-A-N-T. You want to have confidence in God's word? Go to the covenant. God made a covenant with his people. A covenant signed with the blood of his son. Amen.